Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 56 through 69. Hear the word of the Lord. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. Then many of his disciples heard it. They said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe, and who it was who would betray him. And he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, you have the words of eternal life. By your Holy Spirit, let your words pierce our darkness, strengthen our faith, and illumine our witness for you. Amen. You are what you eat, as the old saying goes. If that's true, then I'm mostly sweet tea and burritos. My son is entirely chicken nuggets, and my dog is whatever she happens to find laying around on the ground. I joke, but that old saying is the first thing I thought of when I read this passage. And maybe it's not a bad summary of what Jesus is saying at the beginning of this morning's text. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. You are what you eat. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. Abide in me. But what does that even mean? Eat my flesh. Drink my blood. What does it mean to us? And what did it mean to those who first heard Jesus say it? And why was it so hard for the disciples to hear it? Eat my flesh. Drink my blood. Abide in me. You know, we've heard those words before. It sounds a lot like the words of institution from the Lord's Supper. But if all we need to do to be a follower of Jesus is to participate in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, then why does our text say that the disciples found it to be such a difficult request? Now, putting aside for a moment the weighty theological implications of the Lord's Supper, the physical act of eating and drinking seems pretty easy if you ask me. There's got to be more to it than that. It's difficult to read and understand this passage without first looking at the rest of the chapter. In chapter 6 of John's Gospel, we find stitched together a string of seemingly different scenes in the life of Jesus. Taken as a whole, these individual scenes form a single thread, which gives us new insight into what it means to follow Jesus. The first of these scenes is the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000. A crowd gathers. They had heard how Jesus healed the sick, and they were eager to be in his presence. But they're also hungry. Hungry for spiritual nourishment, sure. But just plain hungry. So what does Jesus do? He feeds them. What better way to get people to join your cause than to feed them? We must remember that in that time and place, most people lived barely above the level of daily subsistence. Certainly these people, by our standards, would be impoverished. If a leader could offer food, then he could very easily command the allegiance of the people. Moving on to the second scene, also a well-known story. It's the miracle of Jesus walking on water. A display of Jesus' divine power. Jesus demonstrates his authority over nature. The people are understandably intrigued. They come to the other side of the shore to find Jesus. They want more of what he has to offer. The third scene in this string finds Jesus on the other side of the shore, in Capernaum. He's talking to those who sought him out. But here's where the tone shifts a little bit. It seems that we're not dealing with the same powerful miracle worker we found in the first two scenes. The people want more of that miracle bread. But Jesus rebukes them. They want their stomachs filled. But he instead urges them to fill themselves with the bread of life, his own flesh. It is this discourse that leads us to this morning's text, the final scene in chapter 6. Eat my flesh. Drink my blood. Abide in me. As it turns out, these are not easy things to do. There's more to the life of faith than just sitting back and waiting for the blessings of God to rain down upon us. Eating Jesus' flesh and drinking Jesus' blood means more than filling our stomachs. It means casting our lot with the crucified one. No wonder so many turned away. It's easy to sit back and enjoy the feast, but it's much harder to live a life like Jesus, a life of humble service and self-sacrifice for the sake of others. Methodist preacher James Howell tells the story of an experience he had as a young man. He says, "In my late 20s, I was present for an unforgettable sermon on John 6 by the inimitable Fred Craddock. He deftly exposed the plot of the whole chapter. Starting with next to nothing, Jesus miraculously feeds 5,000. And they responded with exuberant glee, 'Happy days are here again. The Messiah has come. He'll turn our nickels into dimes, make our gardens grow, find beautiful wives for our sons, and rout the Romans.' But then Jesus shifted the conversation from bread to bread, as in, 'You shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.' The people draw back, wondering why he's heading in this direction. And then he turned on them entirely. Instead of bread, as in the word, he explains that the bread I give for the life of the world is my body. Now he's talking about suffering, dying. And they flee for the exits. The people who came to Jesus from that miraculous feast on the lake shore wanted Jesus to change their circumstances. But what they didn't want was for Jesus to change themselves. They had a vision for what they wanted in a Savior. And Jesus got their attention. He checked all the right boxes. He was the right man for the job right up until the moment that he wasn't. The people wanted a miracle worker. They wanted a mighty man of God. They wanted someone to set the wrongs right. And in a way, that's what Jesus did. But the way he did it was not at all what they had in mind. The power of God in Jesus is quieter. It's more humble than our idea of what power should be. The power of God does not urge us to stand back and watch. No, God invites us to draw closer, to take part. God invites us to open ourselves to the possibility of new life, a life beyond our comfort zone, a life transformed by his grace. Eat my flesh. Drink my blood. Abide in me. These are deliberate images. That word, eat, in the Greek, literally means to gnaw, to chew on, to masticate. Think of a cow chewing the cud. It's not a quick thing. It's deliberate. It takes time. In the same way, to abide means to wait, to remain, to stay still. Being transformed takes time. It takes a lifetime, in fact. Jesus wants the entirety of our lives. One commentator says, when we live as Jesus lived, eat as Jesus ate, love as Jesus loved, and are willing to die as Jesus died, we are participating in the body of Christ, and Christ is truly present in our lives. This morning we witnessed and took part in the baptism of a baby. Baptism for baby Salem is the first step in a lifelong journey of faith. There are many different ways to be baptized. You could be sprinkled with water. Some traditions have the water poured over you. You can even be fully immersed in the water. All are valid forms of baptism. Methodist preacher Josh Moneykaizen finds valuable theological insight into these different modes of baptism through an interesting hobby of his. He makes pickles. According to him, in order to make pickles, you need two things: cucumbers and a brine solution. He notes that, like baptism, he could sprinkle the cucumber with brine, or he could pour brine over the cucumber, or he could submerge the cucumber in the brine. But nothing happens to the cucumber until you add a third ingredient, the passage of time. The cucumber must abide in the brine in order to be transformed. Eventually, there is a point at which the cucumber ceases to be a cucumber. It will forever be a pickle, and it cannot go back. A baptism is a starting point in a long journey of transformation. But in order to be transformed by the grace of God, you must abide. Eat my flesh. Drink my blood. Abide in me. This is a difficult thing. Jesus, knowing the depth of this calling and all that it entails, asks the apostles a question. All around him, the great multitude has scattered. People are turning away. They don't want to relinquish control over their lives. They don't want to abide because they can see that the way ahead is hard. Jesus turns to his closest friends. Do you want to go away as well? Peter, his voice trembling, but urged on by the strength of his love for Jesus, answers, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. To eat his flesh and drink his blood is to be transformed. It is to belong not to ourselves, but to Christ. Peter has been drawn in by God. He has been transformed, and so has set his trajectory with Christ, come what may. Lord, to whom shall we go? He doesn't know where God will lead him, but he trusts that wherever it is good. This is what we proclaim when we participate in the Lord's Supper. This is our hope when we baptize a precious child. The living bread. To eat his flesh and drink his blood is to belong to God in Christ. It means being transformed. It's not about living the good life. It's about living a life that is good. A life of loving service, of sacrifice, of humility, and above all, of love. Eat my flesh. Drink my blood. Abide in me.